email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Irish rowers have been making a splash at the Olympics over the last few years. And not just when they're flying the tricolour. Kathleen Noble is an Irish-Ugandan rower who represented Uganda at the Olympics in Tokyo, and she's heading to Paris this summer. Not only that, but she's the first Ugandan to qualify for rowing at the Olympics in the women's single scull. And Kathleen, we'll be talking to Kathleen. She's over in America training at the moment, but her parents, Moira and Jerry Noble, are back home on holidays from Uganda, and they've come into Studio 7 to talk to us. Good afternoon, Jerry. Good afternoon,
good
Moira.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good to see you. So you're home, and is this a regular thing every couple of years, every year, Moira?
Yes. So since the kids were little, we have come back each year, really to keep those strong connections with family, to give the kids a sense of being part of the Irish family here, and even for us to keep up those connections with family here.
And what's your home county?
Monaghan. I'm from Monaghan, Cleven. Yeah, close to Cleven.
And Jerry?
I'm from Inniskillen.
Right.
From Anna.
How did you two meet?
I was sharing a room with her brother in college, and she looked much better than him.
And you're a doctor.
Yeah.
So you're doing medicine and you're a teacher.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What year did you go to Uganda?
So we went out in 94. So we're celebrating 30 years. It was just actually early July 1994. And interesting enough then, the Irish Embassy started 14th of July 1994. So they're also celebrating the 30 years. Whenever I went to Uganda, I was pregnant with Kathleen. And so it was December that year
right.
That then she was born and she turned 30 this year. Yeah.
And why Uganda, Jerry?
Well, at that stage, we'd both travelled in Africa quite a lot as students. More had worked there. Uganda had just come out of civil war, and I was offered the chance to work in a mission hospital there in Luwero, which was which is where Kathleen was born, was like the killing fields of that civil war in Uganda, where the rebels operated from north of the city of Kampala. And so we were going into a situation where they'd recently set up a hospital. It was, my interest was always in how you work with communities and how you integrate with them. It was a very traumatized community that had come out of very difficult times.
Yeah. So that was a very selfless thing to do then.
But in a way, not really, because that was our interest. That was our joy and delight to go and to learn. And, you know, I suppose we've just been so impressed with Ugandans, and the Ugandan community that we're part of is so much full of faith and hope and perseverance in the midst of really intense difficulties, you know, and we still see that. And that's really an inspiration to us. And in a way, maybe one of the reasons that we really want to stay there.
So it's a population of nearly 50 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A good bit of Lake Victoria is in Uganda.
Yeah.
So we'll come on to that later, because that obviously helps the rowing. Mm-hmm. And you were saying it was just coming out of a civil war.
Yeah, it was.
It's a democracy, multi-party democracy.
Yeah.
And how have things been in the last 30 years then?
Largely stable from a political point of view. The population has probably doubled since we went there. Basically half the population are under the age of 16. It's an incredibly young population, and half the rest are probably under 30. So it's a very young, dynamic demography, and there's an energy in that. I mean, yeah, there's lots of bad stuff, there's lots of messy stuff, but there's lots of life in the middle of that.
And it's very African. It wasn't colonised.
It was never a colony, it was a protectorate. So the history of Uganda is very different. It never had a Mau Mau rebellion like Kenya. And the Ugandans were very clever as to how they managed the British, if you like. Whenever the British wanted to come and take land there, they said no. They went to Parliament. They made very intelligent speeches. That never happened in Uganda. And so they kept control of their own land. And by doing that, there wasn't, I mean, there are a few large, you know, sugar plantations or whatever, but they were owned by Asians who became Ugandans. They were never owned, you know, by expatriate Europeans. So it's a very different history. It doesn't have the trauma of Congo or the, you know, the stress that happened in Kenya, for example. And so that makes it, the way you relate to the people is very different, and their experience was largely dictated by their own internal problems. For example, when Obote and Amin took over, Amin drove out the Asians and drove out the white expatriates. And so for Ugandans, their angst isn't seen in those sort of racial terms. I mean, they've got their own tribal issues that they've worked through. But by and large, it's a country that has had to overcome an awful lot in the last 30 years and has built itself.
So there's very few white people in Uganda then. Is that fair to say, or...?
I think there's quite a large
You say them, they stand out. You
know, yes, that's what I'm saying. Well, that's I suppose that's one way of saying
so,
it.
Yeah, it's proportionately they're very few, but they tend to be people who many have. They're not people who've grown up and lived there. They're very few like Ugandan white people. We're Ugandan citizens at this stage because we've been there so long, as is Kathleen. But though many of people are there because they're largely working, you know, in NGO jobs or whatever. That's why they came there. Maybe they stayed. And some are a lot older than us who stayed. So there's a significant expatriate population, but it's very well integrated into the society.
And when you went 30 years ago, Moira, was the intention always to stay?
I think we never plan ahead that far.
Okay.
So when we went, we were looking at 6 years, perhaps. And then just as time went on, we thought, oh, no, we'll stay a bit longer. And I think it's really only in these last maybe 5 years that we've really said, no, this is home.
This is your life.
Yeah. And I think.
And when did you get citizenship?
We got citizenship just last year. Uh-huh. Last year we got
citizenship. What was that
like? No, that was wonderful. I mean, we've dual citizenship, yes. So we've still held on to the Irish citizenship. And then our son 2 years ago married a wonderful Ugandan lady and Maria. And so that means we've actually real family connections there now, even though Daniel and Maria are now based in Lucan. Yeah.
So Daniel is older than Kathleen.
Daniel's older than Kathleen.
And then there's a younger.
And then Lizzie is younger.
Okay, so three children.
That's right. Yeah.
So Daniel was what age when you up sticks?
So
and
he
went
was
to...
15 months.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You didn't make it easy for yourselves. So you had a 15-month-old and you were pregnant.
Yeah. But in one sense for me, having
young
kids...
We didn't tell them she was pregnant, so they didn't realise.
Having young kids and a baby makes it almost easier. Like that's a commonality. That's a place where there can be a warmth between mums. There's a connection. Yeah. And I think in one sense, going with small children isn't a disadvantage at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So Daniel doesn't remember anything of his first 15 months. So
no, he doesn't. But he has all the summer connections.
Yeah. So how long would you stay when you come home for the summer?
Well, because I was teaching in an international school with about 2 months off, we'd often come for 6 weeks. Yeah, or so. Yeah,
Jerry, it's a lot of people do it because you do it if you're at home. And I said to you before you come in, it's like the kitchen table. So I'm sure you do that at the kitchen table as well. Now, over in the States is Kathleen, and that's the reason we're chatting to you today. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, how are you?
Say hello to your mum and dad there.
Hi, Kathleen, love.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, mummy. Hi, dad.
So, Kathleen Noble, you are representing Uganda this year at the Olympics in Paris. And congratulations on that. Who else?
Thank you.
How many people are on the Ugandan rowing team?
Just myself.
Which is brilliant. And you were there in Tokyo as well, which was a strange Olympics, wasn't it?
It was indeed, yeah, very restricted with all of the regulations around COVID.
Mm. So tell us a bit about yourself then and your sporting history. It was swimming that you initially wanted to excel at.
Yes, absolutely. So I've been swimming since I was like 2 years old and I just loved water. I loved swimming as a child. I think I was always asking to go to the pool and I started competing just as a part of my school team, probably at like 5 or 6 years old. Mm. And so I kept up swimming all through my childhood and my teenage years. And then when I was in about year 9, I got selected to compete for it was the Commonwealth Games, but at that point I actually hadn't gotten Ugandan citizenship. And so that sort of began the process of applying for citizenship, which was quite a long process. And so eventually I did get that citizenship and had the opportunity to represent Uganda at the World Championships in 2012 in Istanbul for swimming. And so I competed in the 50 butterfly and the 50 freestyle and made national records in both of those. And that was kind of the pinnacle of my swimming career for Uganda.
Well, that's debatable because there was a situation when you were nine.
Yes, so I was saying that. So Kathleen, I was telling about when you were nine, the school had an event and kids were to, yeah, you'll remember, you kids had to swim as far as they could.
The
and so many people
challenge.
Were swimming like 20 lengths, 30 lengths. And so Kathleen swam for 200 lengths, which is 5 kilometres, and then had to be dragged out and say, no, Kathleen, you have to stop now. So we knew from early
they
on that she was very determined.
They didn't have any badges higher.
They didn't have any badges higher than 5 kilometres.
So you're driven, which you need to be if you're going to be an Olympian. So then that was the Commonwealth Games. And why the switch then from swimming to rowing?
Well, I think by the time that I had competed, that was my last year of secondary school that I competed at the World Championships in Istanbul for Uganda. And at that point, I kind of had, I guess, a love-hate relationship with swimming. I dedicated so much time and there'd been a lot of kind of like things I liked about it, but also a lot of frustrations. And there hadn't been a lot of other kids that had stuck with it. When I was little, everyone swam. That was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I think by the time I was swimming in my last year of secondary school, the next oldest person was 3 years younger than me. There just really wasn't much of a team. Mm-hmm. And so I also just had so many other interests and I thought, you know, I've done this, I've done really well in it. And I think I can kind of set this aside now and pursue those other interests. But then when I went to university, I found that I really miss being part of competitive sports. I was part of some club teams, but there just wasn't a lot of commitment there, not a lot of competition. And my roommate was a recruit to the lightweight women's rowing team. Uh-huh. And she absolutely loved it. Her whole life was crew, as far as I could tell. And so I guess it was seeing her and also just her kind of saying, like, you know, you could try out for the team, which I didn't realize that you could walk onto a varsity team. And generally you can't, but rowing is quite special in that way because a lot of you can't start that early because the equipment only comes in one size. And uh-huh. so it's not like something like basketball where if you haven't been playing since you're five, you're never going to make it in the big leagues. There is actually quite a few really good athletes. I mean, even like Ollie Zagler, the current world champion for the men's single scull. He was a swimmer, I think, until like 2016 and then made the switch.
Interesting.
And so it is a sport that attracts people from other sports and you can really excel in that. And so kind of the combination of those factors inspired me to try it out my second year of university.
And then somebody in Uganda got wind that there was this girl in America making a name for herself in Princeton in rowing. And they said, would you come? Is that the way it happened? Would you come and row for Uganda?
Well, no. I mean, it was actually quite divine providence. I don't know what you want to call it. But the national coach for Uganda was actually in Princeton 2 months right. after I started rowing. He was doing a training course and he had some things from Uganda that he was trying to distribute to people to kind of spread awareness about Uganda, I suppose, and ended up chatting to one of my teammates who told him about me. And I was only rowing for 2 months and he contacted me and was like, oh, we're going to send you to the World Championships and this and that. And I was like, I have been doing this sport for 2 months. But that was the beginning of my relationship with Ugandan rowing.
Just go back to Tokyo for a moment. So you're walking out with the Ugandan team. You're the only white person. Mm-hmm. And what was the reaction from people watching that, the opening of the Tokyo Olympics back in Uganda?
It was mostly positive. There was way more publicity around me than I had expected. I think part of that was because it was the first time that rowing was in the Olympics for Uganda. Also the first time a white person was representing Uganda. And also rowing is right at the very beginning of the Olympics, whereas athletics, which is where Uganda is really strong, is in the second half of the Olympics. So there wasn't so much to report on at the beginning. So I got a lot of attention. You know, there's always some people that are haters out there or whatever, and there were some negative comments. But the thing that really surprised me and I was very touched by was how many people came back against that and would you know, defend me, people who didn't know me at all. And that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Your parents are listening with pride here. You must be very proud, Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's her. I mean, she does this. You know, it's, we just stand and clap.
Yeah. But I think also very proud, Kathleen, of you, not just your determination, but also your wanting to invest in others. And that really is broad-ranging. Like, for example, straight after the Olympics, instead of doing some victrionic thing, she's coming to Ireland to help look after her granny for a week. And then, but also wanting to input into rowing in Uganda and just really working together with the Uganda Rowing Federation to see how to promote rowing. And, yeah, you know, had the chance to do that a bit after the Tokyo Olympics.
I know
Olympics
you want to
so
mention
yeah.
your mum. Kathleen's granny.
Yeah. Well, just to say, just the day that I arrived home, Mum fell and broke her hip and her elbow and has been in our Lourdes Hospital, Drogheda. And just, I've been so impressed with the care. Like, just to see strangers caring for Mum with so much compassion and commitment. Like, that's really special. Yeah. So, especially Newgrange Ward Level 2, like, really thanks to all
what
of those guys.
What age is your
guys.
Mom? Would she mind?
So, she's 91 this
yeah.
July.
That's yeah, a good age. Yeah.
Yeah. But hoping to get out now this coming week. Yeah.
We were speaking to a lot of people in the lead up to the Paris Olympics, Kathleen, because we have a very healthy athletics team this year. I don't know if you're following them, but I'm interested to know what it's like to be an Olympian. It's you know, because you will always be once an Olympian, always an Olympian. Does that register with you, or is it doesn't matter?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it does matter. It is an identity. It is a huge privilege to have that identity, and it is something that you carry with you for the rest of your life. And I don't think I realized how much that would mean to me when I first, you know, set out on this journey. Even after Tokyo, I don't think it had really set in. But as I've kind of gone through this second cycle, just recognizing that it is an identity, and there is kind of, the Olympics is kind of the pinnacle of sporting events. And there's all of these things that we associate with Olympians that are not just performance. It's all of the things and the virtues that we think must have gone into becoming that, right? It's dedication, it's commitment, it's sportsmanship. And something that I've kind of wrestled a lot with is this question of like, okay, what does it mean to be an Olympian? I know that when I go to Paris, I'm not contending for a medal, you know? I'm not at that level, but I'm still an Olympian, and I want to, you know, embody that identity and the virtues that are associated with it, so that I can be a good example and an inspiration, even if I'm not one of those people that's going to be up on the pedestal.
And part of your mission, if you like, is to promote rowing in Uganda.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And we mentioned earlier on that a good bit of Lake Victoria is in Uganda. So is that ideal rowing territory?
Well, I would say Lake Victoria is not always ideal. It is such a huge lake that you do actually get waves. We could do a bit of coastal rowing
right.
on Lake Victoria.
Oh, it's that big. Yeah.
There are, yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's one of the biggest lakes in the world. So there are mornings when it's completely flat, and then there are other days when it's completely unrowable. But there are lots of bodies of water in Uganda. There are beautiful crater lakes that would be perfect. There are Lake Bunyoni would be a beautiful place to row. So, I mean, realistically, probably it would be Lake Victoria that we would develop around, because that's where the capital city is and such. But there are plenty of options available.
Yeah. And your older brother is living in Ireland. What are your plans? You're now in America. When asked, do you say you're Ugandan, obviously, do you?
Well, I say I'm Irish and Ugandan. I mean, I suppose now representing Uganda, you know, that's kind of the identity that's front and center at this stage in my life, but I feel at different times it's kind of fluctuated back and forth. When I used to live in Uganda and people asked where I was from, I always thought I was from Ireland. So it's been an interesting thing to come to the United States, because then when I was in Ireland and people asked where I was from, I would say I was from Uganda. And now that I'm in the US, I'm from both.
Confused, yeah. Confused Olympian, yeah. Will you be in Paris, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to be there.
Brilliant.
With the, hopefully the Ugandan team, spending some time with them and their son and daughter, and I'll be there also. So it's, yeah, it's exciting. I mean, obviously we couldn't go to Tokyo with COVID, but this is good. Yeah, it's. I mean, Kathleen's not planning to do a lot of rowing necessarily in the future, but this is a really important event for the Ugandans, for her, for us as a family, and it's really a privilege to be able to be there.
Yeah. And your plans, because I know you're a doctor, obviously, and you're now part of the rowing community in Uganda. So as a family, you intend to develop that?
Well, the Ugandan Rowing Federation, World Rowing, donated 17 brand new carbon fiber single and double sculls, including coastal boats. And they're sitting at the side of our house because we want to try and get organized with our friend Batenga, who's the general secretary, and others, to set up a training center there, not just for able-bodied people, but also for para-athletes. For better or worse, Uganda has got a lot of soldiers who lost their legs in Somalia fighting for the Western world. And, you know, we really want to be able to give those guys a chance. And we have one Ugandan coach who is a soldier who lost a leg, and that's his passion. And so we just want to see how we can do that, both for able-bodied and for those guys who've lost their limbs. Because you look at the energy and the youth and the opportunities that we could hopefully give these people, and it's too good a chance to miss, really. So, I mean, everyone thinks that you're mad trying to do this, but, I mean, you know, in dreams begin responsibilities. You know, you have a dream for something, then you want to go and make it happen. So along with the Ugandan rowing community, that's what we'd like to do.
So you're, like, you're pioneers, really, in this, in Uganda.
Yeah, I think we are pioneers, but sport is an incredibly important thing for a nation. And for a young nation, it's even more important. It's about identity. It's about the things she was talking about as an Olympian. It's also, I mean, these kids can get scholarships. I mean, let's face it, there are not a lot of black kids in American university boats, you know, and Ugandans integrate so well in those environments that the opportunities are there. And we really want to see that happen. So we have other athletes, maybe someone who doesn't quite make world championship running, and they're there, they're trained. If Kathleen can convert in a year, they can convert in a year. Yeah. We've runners, we've swimmers, and so we have a pool, and we've 50 million people. You know, a lot of them are young. You have a pool of young people, so it's that energy that we want to
half
harness.
Under 16.
Yeah, that's what the statistic was at the last census.
The
census, I haven't seen the figures. It was done a few months ago.
I remember at one stage we had sort of half under 25, I think.
Yeah.
Back in the 90s, thereabouts. We were a very young country.
Yeah, we were all exported. Yeah.
Yes. Look at you two. just, Kathleen, to let people know to watch out for you in the Olympics, when is your first event?
My first event will be the 27th. July 27th.
July 27th. And it's the single skull, women's single skull.
Yeah, women's single skull.
Brilliant. Lovely talking to you. Just before we go, I'm just back from Uganda as a texter, where I spend a lot of time mainly volunteering with an amazing charity, Hospice Africa Uganda. Like Jerry and Moira, there is a vibrant Irish community there and the bond between the two countries is strong. The Irish Embassy is celebrating its 30th anniversary, as you said, Moira, in Uganda this year. A great milestone.
Yeah.
And shout for the hospice.
Yeah, yeah, the hospice is doing fantastic work. So anyone who's interested in supporting that, like, they're just wonderful, set up by a really old Irish lady called Anne Merriman. Yes. But also then just the Irish Embassy have been great. Our Kevin Colgan, the ambassador, and his wife Catherine, they're just so hospitable and have really helped draw the Irish community together. And that's been really good to be connected to that.
Thanks, Nobles, all the Nobles. Yeah. Kathleen in America and Jerry and Moira here in our studio, and enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Thank you, Ray.
And best wishes to your mum.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Okay. Thanks, Kathleen. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.